You're in the army now. Forever.
You're listening to We Die First, a podcast for black horror fans by black horror fans.
Spooky Squad.
Spooky Squad. It's the end of the month.
Happy end of March Madness.
End of March Madness. This beginning of spring. Did you make a bracket?
Do you give a shit about sports?
No, I don't. But like, I'm not one of those people like who's like, sports. I just don't follow them. But I'm like, you know, if I catch a basketball game, I'll watch. How about you?
I can get into. Yeah, I'm similar. I will never shit on someone. I don't know. It's so, you know, we all famously know Andrew. He doesn't wholly invest in anything. So like to like say you like sports is say you're a fan, which means like you're putting part of yourself into that. And I was like, that's too much effort. That's too much caring. Can't do that.
I
do have fun. Like if you're like, let's go to a game. I was like, yeah, sure.
Oh yeah. I love to go
to a live game. I'll do that.
A live game. That's fun.
If anyone approaches me to like make a bracket during March, I never will not, unless you know it's like an insane buy-in, which they never are. But I always base my brackets off of how good the school's music program is in my mind. So I don't do as bad as one would think, but I don't do great.
That's so fucking nerdy. I love it.
Well, like think like Ann Arbor, right? They're a great fucking like sportsy school, but also their music program's fucking insane.
Well, but then you have
like
have
like West Coast schools that I don't really know. So it's like like Gonzaga or like any of that shit. I was like, I've never heard of you. I know you exist, but so your music program must suck. So yes, I don't do well.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't really get into it. I'm very impressed by people who are into sports. They're like the ones who like know the stats and they know everyone's name and like what their batting average and this thing and what happened in the championships in 1972 and who was the coach. I'm like, that's like really impressive. So, but I'm not one of those
people. It's like that hyper interesting knowledge to the individual where it's like this person probably failed every history class they ever took, but they can tell you every lineup for the Cubs for the last 100 years.
But the thing is like and it tends to be very like straight men, but I think that the one thing that straight men have in common with like some gay men is just like knowledge about a niche thing, except usually it's like theater gays. I feel like theater gays and sports straights are the same people. Because theater gays can also tell you like who was like the original like list the original cast. Right. It's like the same thing. Right? Like and they can tell you like who played
it 100%
is Todd in every iteration of Sweeney Todd from like in like the 80s.
Yeah, and like 70s regional Sweeney Todd too.
Yeah, the West
they include
End,
all of that.
They can tell you like when it was off Broadway before it made it to Broadway, like during the rehearsals. Like, they can tell you everything. So I think
the workshops. Oh yeah.
The workshop.
So
yeah.
Truly, yeah. You really think if that'll be a true testament to bringing communities together when it's like the sports musical where like all the straights are like, wow, this is so accurate. You can tell because they reference you. And it's kind of like that weird intersection. I'm speaking very Chicago specific now. If any Spooky Squad members are in Chicago, it's like Wrigleyville, which is bro-y, but then also it's like in Boys Town-ish adjacent. And then you get that slit that the cross of the Venn diagram of like the North Halsted Boys Town bros, where they're just like, I can tell you everything about musicals and Drag Race and also the fucking Cubs and the Bears. And I'm just like,
okay,
this is a lot of energy.
And I have to write this musical. It's called Bros Town. And it's literally that. It's like, wow, like these two people could never be any have anything alike, and they realize they have so much alike and bring these two communities together through song and sport.
And that is the community that most desperately needs to be connected.
Yeah. I realized when I said song and sport, I have to point out the fact that I do have a slight lisp because I got a root canal 2 days ago. So I heard it, I was like, song and sport.
I'm so bummed that Spooky Squad, we were genuinely talking before this. I'm like, don't address it. I want everyone to fuck it and cancel you.
Why is she talking like that? I'm not making fun of anyone's speech impediment. I just have one right now.
Speaking about making fun of how people talk, this was just something. This is us just gabbing as friends on the podcast. Enjoy it, Spooky Squad. But I was doing some Baby Wants Candy shows yesterday, and one was called Trapped in IKEA. And we started this dumb bit because no one was good at accents. So it was like, obviously, start like someone started off with the most ridiculous Swedish accent. So then I started, every time I came on as a new character, I had a very obviously different accent. But I was like, no, this is authentic Swedish accent. Like, I started out with like Pan-African, you know, like the fucking like Wakanda accent where it's like, what area of Africa?
Yeah.
Africa. And then I came Yeah. And then I came up and did like fucking Cockney, and then I did like fucking like Brooklyn, and I was like, yeah, these are all Swedish, can't you tell? It was such a stupid bit, but I loved it.
I'm sure that sounds really funny. I know I didn't laugh, but I did find it.
I know I didn't laugh, but I could see how other people would.
I am smiling, but only like on one side of my face because the other side hurts a little bit. Yes. Yeah, but oh my god, guys, we are closing out March Madness with a pretty amazing movie that I think the two of us, we know, was very famously on like that Bravo 100 scary movie moments, and I'm so happy we finally got to watch it. It's
truly
so good. Jacob's Ladder.
Stunning. I was prepared.
Which is what I climb to kiss Jacob Elordi on the forehead. He's so tall.
I very much was just like very prepared to just be like, I'm watching this. Obviously, I watched it immediately before recording. And I was like, all right, let's get this done. It'll probably be fine. But I was like, no, this is a good movie.
Yeah. Spooky Squad, if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of one of those ones that has like more of a cult status. So I think it's very likely there are people who, I mean, more of a casual horror viewer who probably haven't heard of it, but I really recommend it. If you're somebody who doesn't like things that are too scary, I think this is really a good one. And also just a really great film overall.
It kind of strikes me as
suspenseful.
Like, yeah.
It's interesting.
It made me think of like, well, obviously for a bigger reason, it made me think of The Sixth Sense, but it mostly made me think of The Sixth Sense, right? Because it was like, ooh, spooky, but also like story. Still a story. Still a good story movie.
Yeah,
some nice little heartfelt moments.
A lot of really great heartfelt moments. A lot of like really funny moments too. Like I laughed out loud a few times. It's fantastic. It's from 1990, directed by Adrian Lynn, who directed a lot of really great classics like Fatal Attraction, 9.5 Weeks, Flashdance, Indecent Proposal. He was one of the erotic thriller girlies, and it feels like that in this. It's very like of the era.
Yeah.
Like watching, I was like, yeah, this is from 1990. Like, this is definitely like 89, 90. Like,
yeah.
But in a good way. I actually love this era of movies. I'm like, yeah, it's like, this is a very specific time. It stars Tim Robbins, who I forgot is so fucking tall. I always forget that. I see him in the movie. I'm like, God, he's tall. I look up his height and it's 6'5", very tall man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's huge.
That's funny because he looks like such a mousy boy.
I was like, is Elizabeth Penny just really short? It's like, no, he's like gigantic for like a movie star, like very tall. Tim Robbins, Elizabeth Pena, and Danny Aiello, but also some really great cameos from like an early, like a young Ving Rhames is in there. Macaulay Culkin is in this.
I saw that. Yeah.
I actually shouted, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
The fuck are you doing here? Jason Alexander. Like, it's really like, it's actually throughout it, I'm like, hey, I know you. What are you doing here?
Truly.
Great time. It's about a Vietnam vet who is back in civilian life, but starts to experience very strange and terrifying hallucinations that make him think that something much worse than what he thought happened in Vietnam happened.
Yes. Also, huge shout out. I don't know if you can tell, but much to my chagrin, liking to think it's all Sonique's fault, I got a text from my internet provider being like, hey, you can get a free hardware upgrade. And I just got it yesterday, installed it just before this call. And I'm like, wow, my signal strength is so much better because I don't record close to my router. And I'm like, damn, fuck, it was me all along.
Aw, well, I'm happy you found the solution. But, you know, I still think that it was a good move for us to change up our recording setup.
Yeah, as much as we love Zoom's audio recording capabilities.
Yeah. If you are ready, wait, no, I was going to actually, no, before we start, I also want to shout out the writer, who is Bruce Joel Rubin, who also wrote My Life and Ghost, Another Night. Damn, he did a twofer. He did Ghost and Jacob's Ladder in 1990.
Damn,
yo, his pen is sick.
A phrase uttered often in the writing community.
Yo, his pen is crazy. That's crazy. I mean, like, this movie is also well written, is why I called him out, because, like, this is actually, like, really, it's really good writing. So I wanted to shout him out, but damn, that's crazy. I could only hope to be like marginally successful as Bruce Joel Rubin.
Yeah, I want to write a pilot that gets picked up and canceled after a season, and I'd still call that a huge success.
Fuck yeah. But are you ready to get into this?
I'm ready.
All right. So the movie starts off in 1971, and we're in Vietnam's, like, Mekong Delta. And we meet Jacob Singer, who is an infantryman called the Professor, amongst a bunch of his other, like, fellow soldiers. And they're kind of, you know, they're chilling. You know, it's a classic, like, Vietnam movie. Like, we're just, like, ribbing each other. Yeah. Like, I'm going to jerk you off with a tweezer because it looks small. I'm like, that's Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames' penis is probably gigantic. I'm sorry. Not to be that person. I'm like, okay, Tim Robbins, relax. But they're just hanging out, you know, having a good time, doing war stuff.
Just doing war. Fucking guy war. Things.
Yeah, just guys being dudes, being murderers for the United States government. But is that controversial? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fuck it. The war's over. So, or is it? Anyway, he's they're hanging out, and all of a sudden they just, like, start to get attacked, but specifically it's like people are, like, getting headaches, like some are throwing up, like they're, like,
convulsing and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so, like, nerve gas. I'm like,
yeah.
I keep shouting nerve gas.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? I was like, there's no way. I was like, in Nam, there's no way they had these, like, brain altering, like, wave weapons that we're trying to make now. So,
right, yeah. I was like, is it like one of those, like, crazy, like a brown note?
And yeah. Like, what warfare would be if that's what we finally just all agreed on? It's like, yo, you can go to war, but you cannot use weapons. You can only use these fucking brown note guns.
Honestly, I think if I were president, that's what I would suggest. Like, no more guns. We throw them all in the ocean, and everyone's just pooping themselves, and whoever just gets tired of pooping, you have to surrender. And I think that's the best way to go about it.
And could you imagine getting the Purple Heart for, like, dying in the fucking battle? And it's like, yeah, fucking shat himself to death. And it's like, yeah, when that's how we'll remember Grandpa.
Well, it definitely take no one can hide a watch in their butt cheeks anymore during war. It's like, oh, that's coming out. Maybe that's coming out, all right?
Yeah, but they start, they're getting attacked. They don't know where, from where, they're getting attacked. And
fucking people are dying.
Jacob is,
yeah, go for,
like,
it.
Fucking gets into the jungle. I don't know. It wasn't like he was running away, but he just ends up in the jungle.
He's like running in the jungle, yeah.
And then just gets fucking stabbed, bayoneted, if you will. We don't know by who. The Viet Cong, presumably.
Right. I'm like, yeah.
And then he wakes up and he's in the subway.
Which is equally scary because it's a subway in the 70s.
Yeah. I was just like, and I'm just like, oh God, this is scary. Like, take me back to Nam.
Yeah. My mom visited New York City in the 70s and she was like, it was a terrifying experience. She was like, never again. Yeah. I think she came, to visit in like the early aughts and she was like, wow, it's changed a lot. This is a very different city.
Oh.
Yeah.
That metropolis. I do like this depiction of Jacob as obviously huge premise of the movie. Psychologically fucked up Vietnam vet, but he is also pretty put together. Like, he has a job, you know, he's not like viewed as like houseless on the street, like drug addict. Like, he's more or less gone back into society, and he is a fucking doctor of PhD. He's a doctor of philosophy, literally PhD, what it means. But so he's like a smart boy.
Yeah.
He's a smart, wise boy.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He like works at the postal office. He's got a girlfriend.
Getting
his
that pension.
He's right. But he's on the subway and he wakes up. He sees like a sleeping homeless man and like something like a tail or something, a tentacle kind of
little tentacle.
Up,
yeah.
Like the quick under
whisper of a tentacle, if you will.
Yeah. And he's like, ugh. So he gets off of the train and like, he gets off at Bergen Street, which is like, hey, I know that station. That's actually, it's in Brooklyn. I know. But he's like, get off the C train. I'm like, is that on the C though? He's like, maybe it's an old line. I don't
know.
Okay,
we get it.
Anyway,
you live in the city.
Listen, I'm just proud of myself that I finally like, know, I can finally have been here long enough that I'm like, I know where that is and how to get to
like
that
when
thing.
when people watch The Dark Knight and they're like, that's Lower Wacker.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Like, hey, I actually know where that is. I've been there. So he gets off the train, and the subway station exit is locked. So he ends up like going down like on the tracks, which I'm like, that's not what I thought. I would just wait for another train and probably like just go to the next station. But anyway, he's walking and he sees like a train pass by, almost gets hit, and it's like. Got all these like fucked up like people on it, and they're
yeah.
just like, very creepy, and it just goes past, right?
And they're very obviously, it's not like just creepy people on the train. They're all like, their faces are pressed against the window, like looking at him.
Yeah, it's like very unsettling. But we find out, you know, a little more about his backstory and his like current life. It's a few years after the event, so it's like 1975. He works at the postal office. And he lives in this apartment in Brooklyn with his girlfriend named Jezebel. And they have this interesting conversation when he gets home where, like, he gets these, like, pictures delivered to him. And we finally, he has, like, a whole other family. And I'm like, okay. And I was, for a moment, like, wait, so where are they?
Yeah.
Like, you have, I mean, immediate judgment. I'm like, wait, he has, like, kids? At first I thought, like, oh, he's had an ex-wife. It's like, oh, you have, like. And I was like, okay, maybe this is the one son who died. And I was like, oh, no, there's other living children. And you just, like, left your family. You're just, like, living in this apartment now. I'm like, wow, okay. okay. Interesting. But, yeah, his youngest son had died. Gabe, played with Macaulay Culkin, died before the war. And he just, like, you know, it's obviously going through a lot of grief still with this girlfriend who isn't very sensitive to it.
Nah, kind of like, she's not doing well.
No,
like
Jessie?
Being, oh, yeah. Also, I love that the second I saw her, my frame of reference, I was like, oh, I was like, you're that one cop from Rush Hour that Chris Tucker like is kind of an asshole to.
Oh yeah, she was. Yeah, Elizabeth Peña has been in like rest in peace has been in a lot of stuff. She's one of those faces too who you look at and you're like. I know you, but you can't always, I can never quite pin the movie. I'm like, I know this woman. I've seen a lot of things. I know that. Yeah. So she ends up like incinerating most of the pictures and all he saves is that one picture of his son Gabe that he keeps in his wallet. And she's like, yeah, your wife will like a bitch. I'm like, Jezebel, relax. Also, she makes fun of like biblical names and I'm like, your name's Jezebel.
Yeah.
And also
yeah.
his name's Jacob. Like,
yeah.
Like, ma'am, open a book, specifically the Bible. Anyway, so he keeps having these, like, like visions. Like, so one day I like the scene, he's coming home from work and a bunch of like black girls in the corner are like singing Mr. Postman.
I know. I was like, this is fucking tight.
It was hilarious.
And he's like, you know, he was digging it. And then like he leaves.
Was loving it.
He's like, yeah. And then like, wait, come back. We're sorry. We don't know the rest of the song.
Also, a lot of black women in this movie love him. I'm like, oh, he's like the hot white boy on the block. Like, y'all are all pressed over this man. Because he's so fucking tall. That's why. Yeah. All you need to do as a man is just be tall. And women are just like falling over you. But he... Hold on.
I got to write that down. Be tall. Okay, continue.
Before that happened, though, we met his chiropractor.
Louis,
who he goes to, and they have these very like deep relationship. And I tweeted this earlier when I was watching. I was like, this movie has a very weird pro chiropractor like message.
Yeah, it's just like, man, you're like a big old cherub. Has anyone told you that? You every time you come in, and I'm like and I in that moment, we all know me. I love just getting lost in the movie, and in that moment, I was like, this has big significance.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like this movie was paid by Big Chiropractic.
Big Chiropractic.
Yeah. Because it's like the
big bones.
Like the hero. Big bones. But yeah, he, on his way after that scene with the girls, he almost gets hit by this car.
Yeah.
And like in the back is like someone who's like just like shaking their head back and forth. And they're like, at one point, they're covered with something, and they're, like, bloody almost. It's very, like, what the fuck is happening? It's in broad daylight. So he tries to go to, like, the VA, but he's, like, told, like, oh, yeah, no, your doctor never existed. Also, you have no record of you ever coming here. And he's like, I come here regularly. Like, what are you talking about?
And he's just fucking... He shouldn't have been drafted in the military. He should have been drafted in like the NFL. He was fucking tackles and
was
dodging
like,
dodging
people. All these like sick people. He's like
He's like, no. He's like spin move juke ooh.
Gets... And he's tall and lanky too. So it's like, damn, like you have really good control.
Yeah, he's got moves.
You're just lot. You're all, mostly limbs.
You're just mostly limbs.
He really is.
And brain.
Yeah, this guy. But he gets, he meets like this one guy who's running group. And he's like, yeah, no, your doctor died. Which I'm like, that's so fucking suspicious because he said he didn't exist. And now one person's like, right. Yeah, no, I know who he was.
And also the nurse, like her hat falls off and she has like barnacles on her head or some shit.
Yeah, like a horn or something. Like, yeah. I don't know. And it's just like, and I think what's so good about this movie is like all of the weird shit is like very well integrated into like the mundane. So it's like, oh, her hat falls off and it's just there. It's like, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
What are we looking at? What's going on? So he's like, okay, weird. So later on, he's at this party that's at like somebody's house, and it's cool. It's like fun. Everyone's like grooving out. They got all the fun soul music and funk, and they're dancing. And this psychic is like, hey, boy. Ooh, hi. Ooh, look at you. Let me read your
future. The mystic black lady.
Yeah, unfortunately. you know, this guy also wrote Ghost, so he's like, I know. He's like, I love a magical Negro. This was a prototype for What's-Her-Face from Ghost. So she's, like, doing his palm reading, and she's, like, flirting with him. She's like, look at your hands. Like, But she's like, oh, this is funny. Your lifeline tells you already dead. They're like, dropping so many hints in this movie.
And I know.
I wasn't picking it up. I'm dumb. I was like, huh, weird.
He was, like, laughing, like, haha, and she's like, no, it's not good. You're dead.
He's like, haha, you're funny. And like,
to be fair, you're as oblivious as maybe Jacob, we would say.
Honestly, same. Like, so he goes out to where everyone's dancing, and Jezzy's out there, and she's grooving. And she's like, come dance with me. He's like, no. There's like a couple on the couch. They're like fucking or something.
Yeah,
they're about
yeah.
to. And I'm like.
And then we start. Yeah. And then
it's
like a nice.
I guess.
And it's just revolution. A nice scene of shit happening, right? We see like a guy and then his head starts doing the shaking thing. We saw a crow, Chekhov's crow. The crow doesn't do anything. It just scares him. And then it just is flying around. And then fucking Jezzy is like grinding, now fucking on the dance floor. But now the person behind her isn't a man and is the demon. But it was like Rosemary's Baby's vibes. Hard.
Yeah, like there's like a strobe light because it's the 70s. And, like, it's, like, strobe. So, it's, like, it's also not, really clear. It's, like, at first when she's dancing, I'm like, oh, she's having sex with this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, first it's a man, and then it turns into the thing, and then it like impales her through the mouth, and it's like, what?
Yeah. And then he starts like fucking, you know, like, like, as, he falls to the floor screaming, as one would. Like,
as
he
would.
Like, so, you know, also, like, playing into, like, is this a thing that's happening and he's freaking out? Is it, like, a psychotic episode? Whatever. And then we get to him lying in bed, looking feverish, thermometer in mouth, and Jesse's like, I can't, I've never been so mortified. How could you do that? And I was like, what the fuck, man?
I'm like, Jezebel, she's not well. What are you talking about? And, of course, they check out his temperature, and he's, like, 106. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he'd be dead. Again, another side. I'm like, oh, no, he would die. Like, that's not good. But she's, like, freaking out, and she's, like, run out into the hallway, and she's, like, collecting ice.
The whole floor really coming to Jacob, you know?
Community. Really debunking the myth about New Yorkers not banding together. They're all bringing out ice and stuff, and, like, drop him in this, like, ice bath, try to bring his temperature down. So he, like, wakes up suddenly, and now he's at his old, like, life at home with his wife and his kids. And he's like, oh, man, I had a fucked up dream. Like, I was living with Jezebel from the postal office. Like, it was weird. And she's like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. You with a working class girl. Impossible. So, like, he puts Macaulay Culkin back to bed because he's being a precocious kid. And I just watch that Quiet on Set shit, and I'm like, I can't stand looking at kid actors these days. I'm like, no, I don't want to see. Especially Macaulay Culkin, too. You know what happened with Culkin.
Right.
Like, Lord, get this kid out of here. Like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to know about it. But, yeah, he's, like, got his, like, three sons. And they're like, Dad, you didn't give me your allowance. Dad, don't leave. We love you. And he wakes up again. Now he's back in Brooklyn. In the bathtub.
Yeah. And, you know, like, a doctor's there.
Louis Black.
And he's just like, you must have friends in high places. And I'm like, wow, they're really hitting it hard.
Like, right. And my ass still not getting it. Yeah. Oh, he's lucky. Like, so
he's just like, God is trying to take you to heaven. I wonder what that means. So. Must be a fucking 70s idiom.
Yeah, I was like, man, it was just from some, like, Chicago song. I don't know. So, he's, like, he's going to be fine, seemingly. And, you know, the temperature has come down. Like, wow, you're so lucky you didn't, like, you would have boiled your brain, right? And he has, like, another, like, flashback before that, too, of when he was, like, in Nam being taken up into the helicopter. A lot of really great scenes of him just lying down and staring up, which also should have been another sign. Brother, you're dead. Spoiler. He's dead. So, anyway. He's back at home, and Jesse is pissed off because he's been, like, holed up for the past 2 weeks. And he's, like, reading up about demonology. And she's like, you need to get back out there. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you know, I know I yelled at you that one time when you had that temperature and you were going to die, but now you're better. And I'm going to yell at you again. Cut this shit out.
She truly did say, right? It's like, it's been days. Why are you not absolutely better? Why are you not perfect?
I'm like, I'm pretty sure he has brain damage after having a fever that high. Like,
yeah.
Like, give him a moment. Like, not you making me defend the deadbeat dad, but I'm like, can you think? Like, come on. Anyway, what happens? So after that, he gets contacted by a guy who had been in his platoon, and it's specifically the guy who in the earlier scene was just kind of catatonic, and just like sitting there. So he calls him up and he's like, listen, like, I've been seeing some crazy shit. I'm going to hell. Like, I need to meet up with you. So he's like, fine. So they meet up, and there's a guy who's just, like, kind of, like, looking at them. He's, like, kind of just, like, lurking in the background. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like we've seen him before, I think, at some point in the movie. I'm like, we've seen him. Like, who the fuck is this guy? But the guy, Paul, the friend from his platoon, is like, yeah, like, I've just been seeing some fucked up shit. Like, something happened. Like, I don't know what it is, but that day, like, something happened to all of us. If you're experiencing this shit, too, like, we need to figure out, like, what it is. But, like, they did something to us in Nam. And he's like, yeah, brother. So he drops him off to his car.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, I've been saying brother a lot lately. It's a new thing.
And he gets a little coin. He finds it. Oh, that's your new thing?
Yeah,
your new
brother.
Thing is having a lisp and saying brother. Wow.
Yeah, just a change. Just a changed person. I'm a changed person.
Brooklyn changed me. I like to. It just seemed that moment, because you knew what was going to happen, because they mentioned, like, you know, like the doctor's car blew up, and then so you're like, that's what's going to happen, and then he's like, ooh, a quarter, because he's, you know, we're on the cusp of the oil crisis eventually. Yeah, very cartoony, like, oh, turns around, and the guy's like, well, I'm still going to the car, and I'm going to start it now.
And he's, like, smiling back at him, like, huh, my old friend, and then he just explodes. It explodes twice.
my old so-and-so.
To make sure that he's dead. And you thought maybe he could be saved after the first explosion. There's a second one. It's like, oh, God, he's dead.
Yeah.
But the guy who had been watching them, like, pulls Jacob away from the car, and he, like, runs away. And it's like, okay, weird. So now we're at a funeral, and I love movie funerals because it's always raining and everyone has a black umbrella. No one ever has, like, an umbrella that they got at, like, from their college.
No one has the super colorful, like, coach umbrella that someone left at their house at a party, speaking from very personal experience.
Which, like, I get it. It's a funeral. Like, is that appropriate? No. But, like, also umbrellas, like, listen, if you got one, use it. Like, and it doesn't matter what's on it. I don't care. Like, I'll forgive you if you have a very jaunty rainbow umbrella at my funeral. Because don't get wet. You'll get sick. So anyway, and you'll end up like me. In my grave. So so you'll catch your death. So they go after the funeral to, like, the repast or whatever. And it's the old buddies all together again, but a little bit older and more traumatized than last time.
Which is just every friend group in some capacity.
Honestly, yeah. Like, that's what I expect. They're hanging out. And okay, one of the guys, this is not important, he's a shorty. He's a short one. And he's like, he's the one who doesn't believe in the demons. He also played this really short guy in Sex and the City that Samantha, like, has sex with. Which, like, someone listening has seen that episode. But I was like, oh my God, that's him. Like, little short guy.
Oh, anyway. Short sex king. Yeah.
Yeah, short king. So they're all kind of commiserating or whatever. But slowly it becomes very apparent they've all experienced these same hallucinations, right? At first they're kind of, like, reluctant, but then, like, Ving Rhames is, like, shaking violently when they mention it. And it's like, okay, yeah, no, all of them are experiencing this shit since the incident. And they're like, it's some kind
it's
of experiment.
It's because he just remembered that small dick tweezer comment and he just got so pissed.
Yeah, he's like, my dick is big!
I've been holding on to that for years.
That's why I just feel like being a man is half the time is you just thinking, like, my dick is big! And, like, shaking about it. And I'm like, whoa, wait, calm down. Anyway, yeah, so now they're like, no, something definitely happened. Like, they must have experimented on us. And that's why, like, we're all fucked up. We need to get a lawyer. And we're going to take down the U.S. Army.
We're going to do our ragtag group.
Yeah, I laughed. I was like, oh, no. And during the Cold War, oh, yeah, good luck. Good fucking luck. Like, you're going to get disappeared. Yeah, so they go and they find George Costanza. And they're like, hey, will you...
Haired George Costanza.
Not that much, though. That guy's always... I feel like Jason Alexander has been bald since he was, like, well, probably born. You know, babies. But since he's a child, I think he's had that hairline. Yeah, but they're like, oh, shit, like, we want to take down the U.S. Army. And the guy's like, what? He's like...
Yeah, the guy's like, fine.
He's okay. Like, I'll try my best. But very shortly thereafter, Jacob gets a call. And it's like all the guys, well, it's one guy, but they're all in the same room. And they're like, yeah, no, we're not doing this shit no more. Yeah. Like, don't call us anymore. Like, we're done.
I do like how they're trying to make this lawyer seem like, you know, like, I mean, sleazy lawyer. Still probably is. But then, so after the call, fucking Jacob finds him. He's like, hey, like, why'd you fucking do this? Like, you don't have a case. And then he's just like, you wanted me to do this fucking ridiculous thing? I looked into it. I was like, you know what? That is nice. Most lawyers would have been like, this is, I'm not going to get disappeared for you. But he's just like, yeah, he's like, none of you served a nom. You were all like deemed psychologically incompetent and didn't fucking like go. And he's like, that's impossible.
Yeah. That was wild. I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Like, why did he go to Nam?
I was like, what? I was like, which one of you is lying?
So, like, he, like, roughs his little ass up. An unfair fight, too. I'm like, Jacob, you're so big. Like, do you know?
He's right. Two of them.
Tim Robbins is actually two Jason Alexander stacked together under a trench coat. He's like, oh, fuck. So he's outside, and all of a sudden he gets, like, abducted by these guys in a car, and they're like, shut your fucking mouth. Like, you see what happened to your friend who got exploded, and your doctor who got exploded, and you don't see yourself right now in this car with us, and we almost hit you? That was us. The same car. We almost killed you.
Yeah, same. Driving the same way. Like, swerving. And he's not even, like, putting up a fight at this point. The guy's still swerving.
Yeah, like, he just likes to do that. He likes to slalom when he drives.
Well, he just gets a little nervous when he drives, so he needs a couple driving beers.
But it's then the he 70s. Starts to fight back. And those limbs start working, boy.
I feel those guys should have gotten more fucked up because I didn't know that he was 6'5". I was like, there's power, like, between, like, in those legs.
In the back seat of a car with a 6'5" man who's just like flailing his arms and legs.
Yeah, even if he didn't have the range to have all the strength his leg could kick, if he put in 2 inches of effort, he's smashing your face into a window.
Big knee in the, like, nose.
Yeah, it's an impressive fight that should have been way less impressive.
It's
but he gets out. He fucking rolls out, and
seems hilarious. Like,
then he's just like this fucking, like, Santa, because I guess it's holiday time. And yeah, he's just like, and he just like tacitly robs him because he can't move.
He's like trying to collect money for the needy, and he just like takes his whole wallet.
Yeah. And then I do like, right, because like he gets picked up by like an ambulance and he's in a hospital, presumably, and then he's just like, there's no identification on him, and it's like, a Santa stole my wallet.
And, like,
and I'm like, yeah.
Exchange,
I was like, you do sound a little crazy. Like,
okay.
Yeah. I was like, this isn't helping that case that you did serve in Vietnam.
Right. So they take him to the hospital, and like, he's at first like, oh, we're gonna take you down, because he's like nearly paralyzed. But they take him down, like, and this is definitely like the Silent Hill. Like, they definitely, like, just went all in. He's in, like, this scary, fucked up hospital. There's, like, limbs.
Nightmare hospital. This is, like, terrifying. This is the scene that was, like, the Silent Hill inspiration, mostly. Yeah,
and as someone who is afraid of doctors and going to the doctor, I was like, I hate this so much. This is my worst nightmare.
Because it's a slow turn, and then I would say if you were like, ooh, I don't like scary movies, this is just kind of disturbing and then, like, kind of gross, but... That's, I would say, the worst of it. But it's, like, it's slowly like, he sees, like, the bike. And he's like, Gabe? I'm like, okay. So, like, bad memory of dying kid. And then you're like, all right. Then it progresses to, like severed body parts all on the floor, like, super bloody. And you're like, all right, this is not a real hospital.
Yeah, but then I was like, it could just be a public hospital in the 70s. Like, there was one hospital, you probably don't remember it because neither of us were alive, but, like, there at one hospital that, like, Geraldo did an expose, and it was, like, for, like, the insane or something, as an asylum, and it was, like, it kind of looked like this. It's just, like, horrible in New York in the 70s, and it was, like, a big thing that kind of, like, led to a lot of, like, the institutionalization process, and it's why our mental health system is so broken now. Anyway, I love to go on.
I do not remember.
No. You weren't there. I was there. I was a cameraman for Geraldo. I was like, let's go, brother. Like, let's get in there. Save these people. Anyway, so he's in this fucked up hospital, and then he like comes back, and now he's like in a regular hospital, and his like, I think is that when he, No, his chiropractor shows up.
Yeah, he's like, I need Louis. I need Louis. And then Louis just also then clearly we had already set up like reality. We don't know what reality is because he just comes in and, you know, it's like hospital things like you're not allowed in here. But he just more or less just goes in like, there.
And just like going on a tirade about like modern medicine. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Like Jacob is all strung up, you know, like just like his feet being like, you know, like hung up in gurneys and shit. But he's able to walk off the bed into his wheelchair.
Louis is like, this is barbaric. And I'm like, this is just like, he's just in a slink. He's okay. He's like, this is awful. Let me just crack the shit out of his back. And then that's more humane.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And
we do get another chiropractor scene, which it's cute because he's just like, he's like, have you ever read Eckhart? Meister Eckhart? This 14th century Christian theologian mystic. And I think he's like, it's like fucking doctor of philosophy. You've never read this guy. Who'd want to go to your school? And then we get a nice, this was a very interesting take on hell. Cause like clearly now we know what we're gearing towards. And this mystic is like, I've seen hell and it's like, if you're dying, but you're like afraid to do so, right? The parts of you in hell are just the parts tying you to earth. So then if you're not at peace, they seem like demons because they're just trying to purge you of like these worst parts of self. It's like, but if you're at peace, they're really like angels trying to like just help you get like let go and go to heaven. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Truly almost also Cenobite level shit.
Right. But it was like just very fascinating because it's like, I mean, I think the initial standpoint you can have when watching this movie, it's like, oh, okay, like these are just like traumatized vets who are just experiencing, you know, PTSD. But then like this, I like the added spiritualism in it and like mysticism, which I think is like really just really interesting. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing happening, that particular speech. And I'm happy that I was able, like, I rewound that part, just like hear him say it again. I was like, that's like really interesting. Like, that's a very interesting, like you said, interesting take on hell and like the afterlife. Still didn't pick up that he's dead. I'm like, no, I think he's alive still. I think at this point it was just denial for me.
Truly.
I guess I'm Jacob in that way. I'm like, if I would be dead and just be like, nope, I'm definitely still alive. Like, I refuse to believe. So he gets, when he's released from the chiropractor, the guy who had saved him from the car shows up and he's like, yeah, I've been watching you. I've been following you. And I want to tell you like what happened. I know what happened. He had called first. And then they met up.
And like, but he was right. He was like, I am a fucking, like, I'm a chemist with the army, this thing. I also like, too, that he wasn't just outright a chemist with an army. Like, he was just some fucking drug dealer making LSD. But, like, good enough that he was recruited by the army.
Right. It's like, you're in the army now. Like, literally, like, you're in the army now. And he gets recruited. And, like, basically they had designed this drug called the Ladder. And the point was to kind of like increase aggression in soldiers. But what they didn't realize was that like, oh, they can't really differentiate what the aggression is towards. So they end up like turning on each other. And that's really what happened that day. So they were killing each other. And that's how he was bayoneted. It wasn't by like the Viet Cong. It was by another American soldier.
And the whole movie, we get like little interjections of flashbacks. And then this is finally like when we see him being stabbed by a white soldier, you know, like in his American garb. Like, oh, it's like, yeah, you got fucked by a bud. Also, I do like, again, not a scientist in the slightest, but that does strike me as very military thinking. Like, yeah, what if we just induce a bad trip? That'll make them good fighters.
But honestly, like probably. I mean, especially considering like America's like history of like these like chemical weapons and like those experiments, like they're not conspiracies. Like they did shit like this. Like, yeah, this
no, yeah,
like,
truly.
It's not unrealistic. That's when he has this another vision where, like you said, he sees this American soldier And he, after he has a conversation with the guy, with Michael, he goes back to, and also I love that too. It's a fun, so many of the characters are biblically named too. So
yeah.
Michael, and Michael is an angel. Yeah. Archangel, right?
Yeah.
I need to actually like get back into like the Bible, not like from a religious standpoint, but just like the lore. Because it's so much of our culture that I'm like, oh yeah, like I don't remember it. Gabriel, all of that. It's very obvious that's what they're doing here. But anyway, oh yeah, and Paul too. I'm so slow. I'm like, oh yeah, other characters that have Sarah, Frank. It's like, no, not in the Bible. Tony. Anyway, so he wakes up and he's back in his old family's home, like, and they have a nice life, like they have a doorman. I'm like, oh, this is like a swanky home. And he goes up and he's there and he finds Gabe, little Macaulay Culkin, little blonde-headed Macaulay Culkin.
This was a cute moment too, because he's like, it's time, it's like we should go upstairs, and you know, clearly like going up the stairs, the bright light, and he's like, it's like, it's time to go, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, oh man,
it's heartbreaking. And he takes him by the hand and he just leads him up the staircase and to this bright light. And then we come back to 71 and we're at this triage tent and we find out that Jacob was dead. He had died from the bayonet. And they said that the doctor says that, you know, he put up a good fight, but he looked like he was at peace when he died.
Yeah. And look, like, right, one of the doctors was fucking Louis. Right. And then like throughout the movie, like he keeps singing like a Gray Skies Turn Blue song. And that was playing while he was in the, like mm-hmm. in the triage tent. And you're like, those nice little payoff things of the, you know, because like I feel that's something we always talk about. Right. Or not talk about, but like is in media and everything and things we like to believe. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like they're in a coma, but they can like. Like some things can be perceived or maybe make their way.
Yeah, like a dream. Like when you're sleeping and there's music and it shows up in your dream too.
So I thought that was very, like, very good artsy payoff-y directorial shit.
Yeah.
That was well done. Again, excellent, good movie.
Excellent movie. Well done. And I mean, obviously, like a lot of other movies have pulled from it. Like, obviously, Silent Hill, The Sixth Sense, very obviously.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't call it a ripoff, but definitely very inspired by it. Yeah, but highly recommend it. I enjoyed. Apparently, there was a remake, which I'm like.
I know. I almost fucking, because I like rented this, so just on the old Prime, and then I almost rented the wrong one, and that would have sucked.
Yeah. For me. Let me see what the reception was. Ooh, 4% are on Tomato. No.
Ooh, almost a perfect zero.
Thank you. Don't want that in my life.
Sneak. How do you think this movie would be different if it were a black movie? I think it does not.
Well,
need
the
me,
remake. The remake, I think is.
Is
it okay. Stars
oh
Michael
shit!
Healy.
It'd be awful. Oh no!
Unfortunately,
I think I feel like this seems like something. I'm kind of curious how the new one is, right? Because they could try to really lean into the racial element, which I feel, you know, especially in the latter half of like the 2010s, when people did that, it was not often great. You know, it was very much like we're trying to make a statement.
I almost wish that it had been a black movie made in 1990. I think that would have been kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think especially when you're talking about just like black people's relationship, like the army and just like, medical experiments. I think it's kind of an interesting angle. That would have kind of been dope, really.
I think, yeah, that would have been. Yes, I agree that would be dope. I wonder, though, from like storytelling, like if you're trying to make like this movie, if that would take away from it. Or like, you know, because like, would it do it service to just kind of be like, mentioning it and then like just kind of it like that's a fact of the like, you know, these experiments on black people that happened and just being like that's a reality and just moving on, or like would you kind of be like, well, they kind of talked about it, I kind of want them to go into it a little more, but it's like, well, that's not the whole point. It's also that fucking Jacob's trying to go to heaven.
Right, that's a good point. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it would take away, and I see the argument for it potentially doing that, because that's not really the movie isn't really about. I mean, like, yeah, that's what happened, but it's not really about that, like the army and like the medical experiments. It's really more about like the process of like of moving on in death, you know, and like and kind of like our yeah. how our worldliness kind of like keeps us in itself becomes hell. So, yeah, I don't know, but. Yeah, great movie. It's one I plan on rewatching, because a movie like this, sure. I'm like, yeah, no, I feel like there's a lot of really interesting stuff in there I probably missed, like him being dead the whole time, and I need to go back and just like reexamine it. But it was fantastic. I loved it. I'm glad we watched it.
Five golden. Spookies. I don't know. We don't ever
really exist. But it's up there. I think like, yeah, I think it's a really interesting movie. And it was not what I expected it to be at all.
Truly. Yeah. It was a very mm-hmm. pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise. Oh my God. March Madness has been fantastic. I feel like we watched a lot of really good ones this month that I don't think there's really any one that I was like, oh, yeah. Dud. I think they're all pretty good.
Oh yeah, and again, because we only knew one, so right?
Yeah, the other ones were all pretty much new for us, so it was fun to kind of go on this journey.
And I'm glad to have done it with you.
I'm glad to have done it with you, and I'm glad to have done it with all of you who listen along to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. Oh, sorry. Bless you. That was such a loud sneeze. I'm going to do that every once in a while just in hopes that someone listens and sneezes. And
we okay, I definitely thought you were calling you to bless you. I was like, I didn't sneeze. I was like, what is he?
No.
I didn't hear anyone sneeze. Where'd that come from?
That's going to pay off sometime.
Yeah, someone's like literally,
we don't know
someone
when.
Literally
we don't know
shit
where.
Themselves to death.
Oh, no.
Sprout note heard around the world. Yeah, next month we'll be back with Alien April, as we promised. We got some really great suggestions that we are maybe or maybe not going to be incorporating. I don't know. You have to check out next month to find out, won't you?
I guess, yeah. I guess that's the only way to do it.
Be sure to share the podcast with your friends and your family and your loved ones and your enemies, because sometimes they have good taste too. And maybe I can bring you guys together. You never know.
Yeah, you could be just like the gay community and the straight sports bro community. We're bringing everyone together on
yes,
this podcast.
Yes, we love to. But before we go, Andrew, do you have any last words?
Yo, if you're a drug dealer and you get busted and then the army offers to get rid of your sentence if you just do stuff for them, be the better person and just be like, nah, I'll just try to get out early on good
yeah,
behavior.
Just do your time. just do your
yeah.
time. It's the one time I'm like, you know what, just go to prison. Like, just
yeah, because, you know, and also, like, the army is kind of like, I feel like the mafia, like, you're never really
damn,
done.
Yeah, you think you're out, like, you're never out.
Especially when you came into the army from a like drug charge or like any like like that
they got
you
they
for
life.
You.
Damn, that's scary. You're in the army now, forever. Hey, along that note, thank you all so much for listening, and stay spooky, y'all.
Stay spooky.